Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And so good to see you all tonight. And I'd like just to introduce a few people to you tonight. If you're here from Livingston tonight, could I just have you stand? Could you do that? Got a couple rows, I think, maybe of people here. And we're so glad to have them here with us. God bless you. You may be seated. And I love Livingston Baptist Church, and I'm so thankful for them. About 6 years ago, the Lord called us down there, and we have been there ever since, 6 years, and we're so thankful for that. And I want to say tonight, too, I appreciate the good meal before we had service tonight. I love hot dogs. I don't know about you. I love them. It reminded me of the time right after me and my wife got married. We went off on our honeymoon. We came back home, and she's trying to get the menu together. She says, "Darling, what do you want for lunch?" I said, "Hot dogs." She says, "What you want for supper?" I said, "Hot dogs." She says, "Now, honey, we just can't have hot dogs all the time." But I'll be honest with you, I love hot dogs, and I'm thrilled with them, and I appreciate that good food there so much. And I appreciate you all coming back out tonight. God bless you for being here. And I want to bring a message with the help of the Lord tonight on Deuteronomy chapter 22. And verse number 8 is where I'd like to read this evening. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. The Bible says, "When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence." Now, that's a very interesting verse here, because God is instructing Moses here in the law and tells him to write this down as a law for the children of Israel, that when they went to build a new house, they were to build battlements on top of the house, and they were supposed to do that. Now, for us to appreciate this text, you've got to understand the construction of the ancient Mideastern home. These homes were built with flat roofs. I believe you've probably seen many of those over in the Middle East. You can walk around on the top of the roof. And as we'll see in a few moments, these roofs were used for a variety of purposes and a variety of activities. But because of this, these ancient homes were created with battlements to keep people from falling off the rooftop. Now, what a battlement was a small wall or a lattice that surrounded the top of the roofs as a means for safety. Now, God, speaking through Moses, his servant, he said, "When you speak to the children of Israel, and I want you to tell them, when you build a house, I want you to remember this commandment that I'm giving you, and that is to build a battlement around the perimeter of that roof." And he tells Moses that this is a command. This wasn't an option. This was something that God instructed very firmly here. And he said these words. He says, "If you don't do this, if somebody falls off the top of that roof, then, because there's no battlements on there, then the blood of that person would come upon that house." Basically, what that means is you would be guilty of the death of that individual. And so this law is very interesting. The law that God gave to Moses implied that the men who built their homes would to put into very much consideration the physical safety of those who would visit their homes. Now, this text makes one thing very clear for us this evening, and that is this: God cares about the construction of homes. Now, I'm not simply talking about the physical construction so much as I am tonight the family construction of a home. God was very concerned about the physical structure of a home. But He's also concerned about the family unit that we call a home. And so tonight, I want to preach just a few moments on this subject of the home and battlements upon the housetops. That's the title I want to give it, battlements upon the housetops. Let's pray. Lord, I want to ask your help once again tonight that you would please bless the time that we have together. Lord, it's so wonderful to have these people here this evening. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just take over right now. And I pray that you would just work through me and speak through me. And Lord, I pray that if something can be said tonight to make homes a little bit more of heaven on earth, I pray that that would be the case. Perhaps tonight there are some here that don't know you as Savior. Lord, I pray tonight that they need to know that Christ needs to be the head of the home. And I pray tonight if there's lost people here that they would be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get talking about the battlements tonight, I want to just take just a few moments and I want to look at the purposes of rooftops in the Mideastern times and what they were used for. I want to go throughout the scripture and just briefly mention to you a few things. Number one, rooftops were used as a place of service. Do you remember the story of Rahab? Remember Rahab the harlot, how that she was on top of her roof drying flax on top of there. She was using her housetop as a place of work and a place for service. I want to say this tonight. Every home ought to be a place of service. Everybody ought to have a job around the house. Amen, Mom and Dad. Amen. You can say amen now. I believe your children appreciate that. I believe children ought to have chores in order to help around the house, don't you? Amen. Listen, I believe that Mom and Dad, I know that children, when they are told to do certain things, they have a way of messing things up, don't they? You know what? When you give your children some instruction to do things, I know that they're not going to do things exactly the way that you think they ought to be done, but they're going to mess up, and from time to time, they'll just have make a complete flop of what you told them to do. But you know what? It's important for children to work around the house. They need to know that everything in life is not to be handed to them. They need to understand that they need to learn how to work. I believe children ought to pull their own weight around the house. Amen? Amen, children? Amen. You know, young people, listen, and the Bible says that even a child is known by his doings. Do you know the Bible says that, Proverbs chapter 1? But you know what, young people, you can come to church and sing, "Oh, I love Jesus," all you want to, but if you don't help your mom pick up your dirty clothes and clean up around the house and straighten your house, your religion hadn't helped you out very much. Amen. 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 Kids, you need to learn to pull your own way. Listen, Christianity is a very practical religion. Christianity will make a better person out of you. It'll make a servant out of you. The disciples one day were arguing who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember that? They were arguing, trying to think, well, I'm going to be greater than you. And no, I'm going to be greater than you. Jesus came up to them and said this, "He that would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, let him be your servant." Homes ought to be a place of service. Number two, housetops were places of recreation. Housetops were where people would often retire in the evening in order to relax and to unwind. You remember the story of David who was upon the housetop relaxing in the evening when he fell into sin. And what I'm about to say right here is no laughing matter, but I believe it needs to be said. I'm not justifying what David did. He did wrong. But I have often wondered if it would have happened if Bathsheba would have pulled the shade down. You know what? What this country needs is a revival of old time honest to goodness, decency, and modesty. We have come to perilous times when women can go around dressed the way they are and not even blush about it. You know what? The Bible says in the last days there's going to come a time when people would not even blush at sin. And let me say this about recreation in the home. There were the housetops made for recreation. But you know what? When I think about recreation in the home, how homes ought to be places where kids enjoy being there. Homes ought to be the happiest places on earth. And moms and dads, let me just encourage you here a little bit. Let your children laugh and have a good time at home. Kids, you can say amen right there. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I think they need to play. I think they need to have a good time. And if they don't find enjoyment at home, you can rest assured that they're going to find it outside the home. And I'm a firm believer in having guidelines and set up in the homes for children. But let children have fun. Christian homes ought to be happy homes. Let the children play and laugh. Don't always be saying, don't. You know, I heard about somebody who went up to a little girl one day and said, "Honey, what's your name?" She said, "Mary, don't." That's what she said. Listen, I believe there ought to be guidelines in the home. But you know what? If you're always saying don't, you know what? It's actually because you're not enforcing the rules you already have set up. You see, kids know how far they can push their mom and dad, don't they? They sure can. Some of them know that they can get away with just about murder until mom raises her voice to the right decibel. And then when she reaches that decibel, all of a sudden the kids say, "Okay, she's reached her limit. All right, we better listen or we're going to get it." Now listen tonight, if you're serious about the don't, then don't let them get by with it 15 times before you do something about it. All right? Let's say what you mean and mean what you say. Well, your homes ought to be enjoyable places to live. Number three, housetops were retreats in the time of battle. I find this interesting. You see, when fighting was brought out into the streets, people went into their homes and on top of their houses and behind the battlements on the housetop for safety. In fact, the same term used for battlement of the home was used to describe the defenses of the city walls. It's the same term that's used. Houses ought to be places where children feel comfortable and safe bringing their cares and trials. You know what, mom and dad? Be approachable. Be approachable. Allow your kids to be able to come and to talk and to share their worries, share their fears, share their cares. Homes ought to be places of protection against the world and against the devil. You know, this world is a battlefield. You know what? Children ought to be able to come home and it be a place of safety in the home. They ought to have mom and dad there as battlements for them to where that they can express their concerns and they can be places here of training and reinforcement as we help keep the world and out of our family. So keep these lines of communication open in the home. Number four, housetops were places where people went to pray. Now, in the New Testament, we find where Peter, in the book of Acts, went upon a housetop. While he was there upon the housetop and praying, he received a vision from God. A sheet was let down from heaven. You remember the story of all types of unclean animals in it. Now, we're not going to get in the story, but what I just simply want to say is the housetop there was used for Peter in order to commune with God. His housetop that day became a place of prayer. You know, every house ought to be a house of prayer. Every house ought to be that time where we can have communion going on. There ought to be a whole lot, there would be a whole lot less criticism of people and each other if there was a whole lot more praying going on. You know what? You can't have a Christian home without having a home of prayer. Let me say that again. You cannot have a Christian home if you're not going to have a home without prayer. Can I tell you something this evening? I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but you know there is nobody here who has enough sense to rear their children without prayer and calling on God to help you with it. If your fathers and mothers were completely honest with you tonight, you would have to admit, listen, you're just not smart enough to have all the answers. I'm not smart enough. You're not smart enough. You know, I don't care how smart people think they are, but the smartest moms and the smartest dads are those who get on their knees before God and cry out, "Oh God, I don't have all the answers. Show me what I don't know. And God, unless your grace intervenes, our family's going to hit the rocks." You know, there's something wonderful that happens to a family when a mom and a dad retires to the housetop and commits themselves to a season of prayer. There's something special about that. The old time housetops were places of service. They were places of recreation, a retreat in the time of battle, and they were certainly a place of prayer. Now what I want to do for the remainder of our time, I want to talk a few moments about these battlements that the Scripture here talked about, that they were required to place on the housetop. And I want to speak tonight on four battlements that every home ought to have if they're going to have a place of safety in the home. One for each wall. I guarantee you, I believe these four battlements will be a source of safety to help keep our children from falling. Number one, let me say this. Let me suggest that each home put up on one side of their housetop the battlement of discipline. The battlement of discipline. I want to give you several scriptures tonight that I believe will help us understand the importance of this wall of protection. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in a heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Amen, kids? Amen. You know, I remember not too long ago we were here, and my dad, he has oftentimes stood, he's probably said it in front of you all, Dad knew how to get our attention around the house. And he used a rod. It was about as big around as your finger. And it was a dowel rod. And he would take those things. And I tell you, it didn't matter how much you jumped, how much you ran circles around, he'd hit the same spot every single time. I remember that. I do. He was good. He was a marksman when he was in the military. And it bled on over into the home life, too. I remember one time we had a family here years and years ago that had problems disciplining one of their youngins, and one of them had a hard time listening. And I remember my dad giving them instruction. You remember that? He says, "What you need to do is you need," he introduced them to the rod. And this rod became a really good asset to that family. In fact, it worked so good that the dad brought it to church. He did. The man ended up, he had pulled up his pants leg. I'm not going to do that for you. Okay. And he stuck the rod down his sock. All right. And it was hid underneath his pants leg. Well, he brought that thing to church. And whenever his son was misbehaving, he'd pull up his pants leg and just point at it and say, "Son." Well, one day I remember he wasn't behaving. And so the dad grabbed the son and walked out the back door. And everybody in the church heard these words, "Daddy, not the rod, Daddy. Daddy, not the rod." I remember that just as clear as day. But, every home needs some discipline in the home. I'm not speaking tonight, nor does the Bible imply abuse of children. The Bible doesn't tell us to abuse our children. But I'll tell you what it does imply. It does imply corporal punishment. It does. There's a place, my dad used to say up here, and you probably heard him. He said, "There's a place midway between the top of a child's head and the sole of their feet that has plenty of cushion. And it's a place that has no vital organs. And it's a place designed by God not only for sitting, but also for discipline." And my dad believed in that. Now, people say, "Well, preacher, don't you know we're living in the 21st century now? And we just don't do things like that today." Yeah, and maybe that's the reason we have more crime and we're running out of room in our state penitentiaries. Maybe that's the reason we got to have policemen and metal detectors put in our schools today. We have raised a generation that fears nothing. They don't fear police. They don't fear preachers. They don't fear teachers. They don't fear principals because they've never been taught how to fear the rod. And I tell you what, you learn to fear the rod. You know, a lot of people write books on discipline. But you know what? If you take 9 out of 10 of those books about how to raise kids and then turn them into paddles, we'd turn around this next generation in our morals and our values. I believe that. Here's another verse. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You want to be smart, kids? There you go. All right. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know that word reproof there is interesting. The word reproof means that mom and dad, you're supposed to say no to your kids. Say no to them. Your kids need to know what the boundaries are in the home. It's the parents' responsibility to set that battlement up on top of the home. You know, if there is a debate between the mother and the father, what ought to be done? Listen, parents discuss it privately about it, but you know what? After you talk about it, if the husband still feels convinced about the rules that he wants to set up in the home, don't give him grief about it. Pray for him. Let him be accountable to God. But then go ahead and let him do what his responsibility is that God's given him. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall be a delight unto thy soul. What that means is the happiest homes are the homes where there's loving discipline in the home. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes means early. Hey, don't wait a week from now to discipline your child. Hey, if he's done something wrong, then discipline him right away. One of the problems I just can't stand in the country right now is that people do a crime and 5, 10 years from now we have a trial and maybe eventually they'll get justice. I don't know. The Bible says let's do it early. You know, oftentimes we hear the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child. You know what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, spare the rod, you hate the child. And it's, why is that? It's because loving discipline now will save a whole lot of heartache for the child later. It's a battlement that I believe we must construct in our homes for the survival of our children. Number two, let me say this. I believe we ought to put on that second wall of our housetop, the battlement of reverence for the Bible. Our children need to be taught over and over again that the Bible is the Word of God. And that it is not just contains the Word, it is the Word of God. Man was simply an instrument whereby God wrote what He told him to write. You say, preacher, do you believe every word in this book is inspired and breathed by God? Absolutely. Every word of it. Well, then you believe in mechanical dictation. Well, call it whatever you want to. I just believe God wrote the Bible. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it just means that I believe God spoke every word and man wrote it down. And I don't have a problem believing that. We need to tell our children that the book that they hold in their lap is God's book. It's God's Word. And we still need to instill into our children a reverence for the Bible. Scripture says that God has magnified His Word, now get this, above His name. You think about the name of God, how much reverence we ought to have for God's name. God says, I have taken my word and I have placed it above even my own name. You know, I want us to hear this tonight. Our children will only reverence this book if they see their parents reverence it. And listen tonight, if children see their parents obeying the book, then the children will probably obey it as well. But listen, if children see mom and dad disobeying something that they see in Scripture, then most likely that child will do the same thing. There's an old saying, it's awful true, that more things are caught than taught. There's a lot of truth to that. And with this in mind, let me give you a third battlement that we need to place on the housetop. The battlement of the family altar. There's a story told in the Bible about Elijah. Elijah was challenging Ahab one day to a duel, so to speak, and whose God was going to be God. He challenged Ahab and the 450 prophets of Baal, and they went out and they built an altar. And they took the things there. First of all, Elijah was so considerate, he allowed Ahab and his 450 prophets to go ahead and begin first. And you know the story. A lot of them climbed up on top of the altar and cut themselves and crying out to Baal to strike them down with fire and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know what? They did that for most part of the day. The Bible says that Elijah, then it became his turn. One thing about Elijah that he did before he did anything else, and I find it very interesting, the Bible says that he repaired the altar. Now, isn't that interesting? Here we find Elijah. Evidently, these prophets of Baal had gotten up on top of the altar and having such a fit, they knocked stones down and all around them. But one thing that Elijah did is he began, before he even called out in prayer to God, he repaired that family altar, or that altar. And let me say this, I'm not going to stay long with this subject because I mentioned a little bit already, but if you've not already done it, get your family together at least once a day for family prayer. You need to do that. If you're not doing it, then I think a good time to start is tonight. Just go home. Just have some time of prayer with them together. Take a chapter out of the Bible and just read one chapter. Go around in the circle. Everybody just read a verse. Go around and around. You know what that does? That instills a respect for the Word of God. And God forbid that any of our children should go to hell. But if they do, then let them have to climb over the battlement of family altar to get there. Family altar alters families. Then number four, let me say this. The last battlement, complete and enclose the housetop with the battlement of a consistent Christian life. Many children go astray because parents have proven to be inconsistent with their walk with God. You know I'm telling you the truth. A lot of children that see inconsistencies at home, and because they see it in homes, then they see that God's not real to them. And as a result of that, they turn their back on God. They're not faithful to God because mom and dad's not faithful to God. The hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is live a consistent Christian life. But stay on your face before God. Ask God to give you strength to be a consistent Christian. One day, a preacher living in Vancouver had his window in his house raised. He had a child and he was playing with some other children out in his front yard. He began to hear an argument outside. You've often heard this argument. Children were going around saying, "My daddy can beat up your daddy." You remember that little phrase? You remember how they were going around and they were saying that all around there, "My daddy can beat up your daddy," and "No, my daddy can." Well, all of a sudden it sort of morphed into that, into this conversation. All of a sudden one of the children said, "Well, my daddy knows the mayor." Another little child said, "Well, that's nothing. My daddy knows the governor." About that time, the preacher heard a voice he recognized as his little boy. And he said these words, "Well, that's nothing," he said. "My daddy knows God." The story went on where Preacher Halverson was his name. He said he quickly and quietly rose and closed the window lest his child should hear him crying. And he knelt upon his knees in prayer and he said, "Oh God, help me always live so that my boy can say, my daddy knows God." Oh, how we need moms and dads who live so that their children know that they know God. And that will only come by living a consistent life. I believe tonight there are some good battlements to place in our homes. I believe we need the family discipline. I believe we need reverence for the Bible, family altar, and a consistent Christian life. You know what? If you'll construct those four things in your home, I think they'll help prevent your children from falling. Now listen, God commanded that battlements in the book of Deuteronomy ought to be placed on the housetops. I want to ask you a question tonight. Ask yourself, what kind of battlements do I have? Do you have any? If you do, are there enough of them? You know, God help us in our family nowadays. It seems like kids seem like they're so emphasizing the wrong things. And I believe it comes because we're emphasizing the wrong things in our culture. But I'll tell you what, if the children go the way of the world, may it be that they have to climb over the battlements in order to get there. And if they go astray, may it not be because there were no battlements to keep them safe. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. We're getting ready to have a moment of invitation. I know it's on the home tonight. And I know tonight the message was not much on a salvation line. But I want you to know that if you want to have a Christian home, you've got to have Christ in your home. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, I want you to know that He loves you and that He sent His Son to die in your place, and that if you'll call on Him tonight, He'll save you. And then, Christians, I want to encourage you tonight. Have you got these battlements up in your home in order to keep your family safe? This evening, if you find some places that you just feel like God's placed on your heart that you need to pray about, we want to invite you to come and just gather around this altar and just pray that God would help us. My, how we need God's help in the home. Our Father, tonight, I pray Your blessing on this invitation. We turn it now into Your hands and pray, dear God, that You would be honored and glorified during this time. In Jesus' name.